why I would say that about James. What does James do that some of the other books may not emphasize as much? Huh? It's personal, isn't it? Things that happen during the early church, things that went on way, way back there, we can't say, oh, that was back then. Because those things are happening now, right? And it's, I call it a kind of a behavior book. It gives us a lot of behaviors. And when we look at these behaviors, they're no different than what we're going through today. Now, I went through chapter 1 through 3 because we're going to start in 4. And I didn't do 4, but I know a lot that I can identify in 4 too. But I tried to identify the different behaviors that I came up with that James addressed. Different, and I'm talking about specific behaviors. What? Oh, can anybody give me some of those behaviors that you can see? Favoritism. A behavior of favoritism. And we're going to talk about that one as we go through it, because Paul not only identified those traits, but he tells us if we don't have that in our life, there are some things that can come out of it. You know how sometimes, and I'm using this kind of to an extreme. You know, somebody get in an accident. Let's say somebody is involved with something, and somebody might say, well, the reason that person didn't get hurt or whatever is because he has strong bones, right? And then how did he get strong bones? There are certain things that they did for that particular item to give him strong bones. Similar, I think James does the same thing. He addresses different traits in our life. You know, we have all these different emotions and all of these different problems, but he addresses those specific and not only tell us about them, he tells us the harm of it and tell us what we can get out of it. What's another one? Can anybody come up with another one? Did you have your hand up, Scott? Yeah, go ahead. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll hold to that faith without works, but he delves it and puts it right in your face from the beginning to the end. If you don't have some action behind this faith, don't talk to me about your faith.
Okay. And that's and we're going to talk about that particular point. Under the umbrella of how would you identify this characteristic, what would you say that's telling us to have what in our life? If I can, let me just kind of, because this is the way I'm going with this. It's an attitude. We should have a certain attitude. But that's just one of the behaviors that I see that Paul is addressing here. It also could be a mindset. That's another thing. Paul is addressing how our mindset should be. Good point. And we're going to talk about that, the positives to it. Paul talks, I'm going to be saying it all day because I'm so used to saying Paul. James is saying, in reference to what Scott, man, I forgot your name. I see I'm going to have a hard time with this lesson. What Scott has just said is that the example that he showed and how James addresses that, he gives us some benefits of doing the things that he just said. And we're going to talk about that. I don't want to get too deeply in that one. But that's a behavior of, I would say, attitude and mindset. That's the two things I would say. So I'm looking at something like maybe 8-10 different behaviors he's talking about. He talked about the behavior of attitude that Scott just talked about, or our mindset. What's another one? Huh? The untamed tongue. And we're going to be talking about that one. What is that, the attitude of what? What would that fall under to you? Self-control. We're talking about self-control. And I like the idea of self-control. Because you can't control nobody else, right? It's your self-control. So Paul directs us on that. And he tells us the harm in that. And he also tells us the good in that. And we talked about all of that this earlier in the lesson, I'm pretty sure this was brought up. What's another one? Yes. Where about? And what's that, a behavior of what? Paul is addressing patience.
Time management.
Control again. These are another thing is a mindset. You know, so many people have mindset. When you talk to them, you hear them say, I will see you tomorrow. And what do they put on the end of that? If it's God's will. I kind of put that under wisdom also, recognizing that that might happen. But all of those, this is what James is talking about in that particular chapter. What's the first thing, and let's look at chapter 1 and we're going to work our way there. What's the first, I would say, our first mindset that Paul says that we should do. Huh? To be tested, right? Now why, what is Paul telling us the pros and the cons of that? He says, count it a joy to be tested. How do we look at, especially when trials and tribulation comes out? This is hard, I tell you. This is a hard thing for me as an individual to see, because when something bad happened to me, I dwell on it. And I dwell on it a lot. And if somebody have done something that I consider not so good, you know, it's kind of mean-spirited, I dwell on it to the point that how am I going to get back with Phyllis for saying this about me? What am I going to do? Yes, Marcus. Exactly. Is that what James is saying in that? And because of what? No, I mean, yeah, he loves you, but why are you looking at it in that respect? Because That you look at it as a testing, as a trial thing, that you're going to do better, you can grow. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah.
What he's doing is telling us you will face it.
Yes.
Like we tell our folks, our children, those we love, exact times are going to come. You tell them that they you love them.
Right.
And you tell them the positives of it. Because for us, we see nothing but, like Mark has just said, what you all said, oh, whoa, this is all coming up. Why, God? Why? It's all a personal thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can prove myself now. Now is when I need to buck up. It's a difference of attitude in the future. But whoever says that the Lord wants us to suffer, I want to talk to that person. But they got it wrong.
Yeah. And that's a good point, because James says, count it as joy. And that's where a lot of people get off on that we are we're going to do this. Yeah.
Because
they
believe that God wants them to suffer.
Yeah. But to have that type of attitude, and if we got that type of attitude, it goes back to exactly what Marcus talked about. Ah, man, look, I'm suffering, I'm going through this, but you know something? I'm going to accept this as an opportunity to do good or to increase my endurance. Matter of fact, I think James mentioned that. By doing this, by having this attitude, looking at it as an opportunity to do good, you increase, you build up.
Yeah. Once you do that, he takes it one step further. So you can't just leave it at that. Well, buck up and you're going to show endurance.
Yeah. Yes.
That you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. By doing this,
yeah,
we're actually helping to purge out all those doubts and things that normally come.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing something like this,
yeah,
each and every time, we learn it.
Right.
And before long, it's like this ain't no big thing. This is no big thing. It's no big trial. I've been down this road.
Yeah. And I think what Scott said earlier in his statement was that it's going to happen. So it's going to happen to all of us. And we know people that have probably gone through a lot of trials. You know, I think one of the things, I think when we first moved to San Jose and we met the Coopers, I think, and Judy and I was this, and they had a lot of tragedy. I mean, every time you turn around, there was a tragedy in their family or something was going on. And we go, man, that family, they're going through a lot. But they got large families on both sides. And they're going through a whole lot. And we were impressed with the way they handled it. It didn't change them. They kept going. And I thought, and we didn't know them that well. We had just moved to San Jose. And I thought that was the first thing that I always remember when we moved to San Jose and went to a congregation. And every time we got up there, they was announcing something had gone on in the Cooper's family. And another person that we know, I think some of us know, is Deborah Valentine. Lost her sons, husband, mom. I mean, in a period of time there that got to be stressful on, but one thing about her, she always says, this is what God has given me, and so this is what I deal with. And she does a good job. But the first thing he talks about there is a positive attitude. That's what I like to use. Have a look at negative things and look at the positive in it and take those opportunities. He tells us also a way that we can use a method in doing this in that chapter. What he gives us three things in that chapter he tells us to do and will help us in this idea of looking at things differently. Three things. Yes. And that's true. But I'm looking for something else. He tells us to yes. Yes. That's just the opposite of me. Sometimes when I'm talking with somebody, I'm listening, but I just can't wait till they shut up so I can tell them. I think most of us like that, right? We're listening, but James is saying, hey, listen, why is that so important? Why would you say, James mentioned that we should be very quick and swift and eager to listen. Why would he make that such a high priority over me speaking? Huh? You learn something, don't you? Sometimes when you listen and what you was about to say and how you were about to say it could be changed from just listening and see where a person is coming from. Sometimes that happens. Listen and try to understand people. You don't have to agree with everything somebody say, but listen and see where they're coming from sometimes. And then try to get an understanding. Sometimes when we get if we're slow to speak, and that's going to go along with another area that he talks about, slow to speak. And what was the third one? Slow to anger. And I think that slow to anger probably comes with that slow to speak. Those two, I would say, work together. Quick to hear can help us with those next two. So what is that? What behavior is that? That still falls under a behavior of one's mindset, the attitude, self-control, and that's a big one. That pretty much goes through that whole chapter when we look at some of this. That self-control that's going to stand out a lot. Then I think Scott kind of mentioned earlier another one that I was going to bring up as a behavior. And that was the doer or the hearer. What is it? Listen to what the word says. There you go. And these... yeah. And there's nothing worse than being in the presence of someone that's trying to correct you or tell you what you should do, and they don't do it. I mean, what they're saying is true. What they're saying is true. But when they are not doers of it, it kind of water it down, doesn't it? It's hard for me to listen to someone that tells me what to do, but they don't do it themselves, even though what they're telling me is true. And sometimes I have a hard time separating that. Yeah. Okay, so that's another mindset. In chapter 2, when we look at chapter 2, there are some things that he talks about that. I think Kathy kind of brings this one up. What's attitude of what? Favoritism. Now, We know the story because we've already been over this. Why? What behavior does... Well, favoritism. I go back again. What would favoritism do to our ability to spread God's word or even to deal with our brothers and sisters? Favoritism. Either way, doesn't matter. What would favoritism do in your eyes? Yes. It turns people away. There's nothing worse than you seeing everybody favoring Scott, and every time Scott come up with the same thing that you come up with, it's great. When you come up with it, it's not. You know, but that's just one situation of favoritism. I'm just bringing that one up, but there's other. Yes. Exactly. Because it violates God's teaching, doesn't it? Yeah. Favoritism, and what did James say in reference to this favoritism? We talked about that one. In this favoritism that was going on during that time, we do the same thing, maybe not so much from the dress and the, but we still do it as far as maybe what we look at as more important and not important, or something along this line. But what did James mention? Yes. Yes. And when we look at, again, when we go back to behavior, what is Paul addressing? What is he addressing here as far as those behaviors that we was talking about, the different ones? We use favoritism, but the results of having this favoritism can be negative, right? Cause you to commit sin. Favoritism. It's not going to help build us up. It's not going to help us to build on our endurance. It's going to cause us to sin. It's going to cause us to go the opposite direction. And that's the word. That's the key word, opposite. Opposite of what we as Christians should be looking for. Yes. Yeah, and I think, there you go. I had that one down, motives. What's my motives? That's another behavior that Paul addressed. But I think the class discussed that with Aaron when they were in that area. Is talking about what can I get out of it, and that's a true motive for a person in showing favoritism. Yes. Oh, did you have your head up? Judy. Yeah, ain't nobody behind you. You're the only one sitting there. I thought you had your hand up. Oh, okay. Okay, so we talk about favoritism. Favoritism, I don't know if that can be turned into a positive. It's a negative. Can anybody give me an example or think of how I can look at favoritism? Yes. Yeah.
So I might be calling that, in some essence, a positive manner for
favoritism.
But that has nothing to do with what we're talking right about now, in which you have something to gain and some motive behind it, in which you should have nothing to do with the household or the citizen.
Exactly. Exactly. Favoritism. Okay, in chapter 2 also... And I think Scott kind of jumped on that one earlier too. And he talks about the deeds versus our faith. There's a big problem there. What did James say? One key phrase he used there that I really liked. But he talked about after we talked about the favoritism, he talked about another idol that is also very important. Yes. Oh, who said, who? Mona? Did you? Yeah. Okay, well,
and he illustrates that 14, I think.
Yeah.
Says, you know, man says he has faith, but he has no work, and that faith pays him. In other words, that's,
yeah, exactly. But, so how do you show, what did James say? How do you show your faith? By your works. He says, you show me your deeds, and by my deeds, I show my faith. And so that's a behavior of what? When we think about the ideals of different behaviors that's going on that James is addressing here, that's a behavior of what? Another mindset? What about I don't know about commitment. Would that be I had a commitment as a behavior that he kind of addresses here. I don't know if that would be one of them. And I like that what he says when he used the that term study. You know, a lot of us, congregation, Church of Christ, we have a lot of different Bible classes. We have a young people Bible class. We have a ladies Bible class. We have a men's Bible class. We have all these Bible classes that we come and we study. And I'm not cutting that. I'm not saying that's not necessary. But where does it go when we all leave this building? I think that's what Scott was talking about. We go through all of these studies, and I mean, we got this knowledge. Man, I could take somebody and, you know, it's kind of like I always was impressed with this basketball player years ago. I might have told you about it. His name was John Lucas. And he could quote that whole Bible back and forth real good. So what? I mean, you know, you give him a verse and he could tell you where it's found, but it stayed there. It went no further. So we have all these Bible classes. We study, we build up our faith, and we look at things and we say, oh boy, these people are weak and I wouldn't have done that. No, you're not going to do it if we don't get out there and be tested. And that's a good point, because of the thing is, you've heard people even make those type of statements. They have made a acknowledgement of the people in their life that had an influence and helped them to develop themselves in this area, or this area. And so, yeah, that's true. And so, James says, your deeds your fruit, what you are doing, and then I can see your faith. Yeah. Okay, that was in chapter 2. And then we go down to, over to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is interesting. What's the first thing that chapter 3, what's the first thing that chapter 3 tells us, and what one of the behaviors are we dealing with here? Well, not the first thing, but it mentioned one of the things I think we talked about in the previous studies that James talked about in chapter 3. The tongue. I think Judy mentioned that. The taming the tongue. Let me ask a question, because Judy says, well, how did you put that? Untamed tongue. Can we tame the tongue? Can we tame the tongue? Well, I hear yes, no.
We can try.
I know we can try to do anything. Can we tame the tongue? Yes. Let's see what James says. Somebody read verse 7 and 8 in that chapter. And now I'm hearing no. Well, what's he talking about? Okay, that's good. What's he talking about? I can't tame my tongue, because I'm kind of like a lot of the people that said yes. What he mean, what's the difference between, because he's using control. What's the difference between taming and controlling? How can I, they sound the same to me. Anybody see the difference in the two? I can, controlling begins with the brain. Okay, that's a good point. What does taming, let me get Marcus. That's a good point. That's a good point. Cooper, I don't know. He's saying your training of the dog. But you can't think. Emotion. Oh, instinct. Yeah. It is under control. I like those two examples that Marcus and Coop gave, because I was going to use the same idea that James used here as what Marcus used on the remote control, because the first thing he talked about, and something that Ruby mentioned also, first thing he talked about was what? As far as power. Because he says the tongue is really powerful. I mean, he says that the tongue is like just a small spark in the woods. You start a real small spark, And that thing just boom. You can start it with a small spark. But he talks about another item in that book. And it kind of go along with what I want to bring out as far as what Ruby and Cooper and Marcus brought out. What example did he use? What's another example he used? Huh? Oh, he used a horse's bits also, yeah, but I wanted the other one. The rudder. The rudder on the ship. How is that rudder on the ship controlled? And we could consider that the brain, right? The information that goes into the one that's steering it, we can look at that as the instructions, the education, the knowledge that that person have to control that. If that person that's steering it and doing all of these things, if that person don't know what they are doing, is that going to help that rudder keep us safe or turn that ship properly or whatever? It takes something to go in. It has to have the proper knowledge to turn that thing. Marcus mentioned that if we tame that rudder, can we tame it? And we just get up on that ship and go our merry way. We can't tame that, right? Because when the winds come, that rudder is going to do what? Go wherever it wants. So, yes. And so, looking at it from our spiritual sense, we have our tongue. And it tells us to control it because we can't tame it. If somebody say we can try, if we try taming it, if we haven't gotten the right information, that tongue is going to do what it wants to do. There's no control to it, right? So how do we control it? What's the mechanism in making sure that tongue, and the Bible speaks of a number of different things, what's the mechanism used for us to control that tongue? Yeah, but that's a good technique. That's a good practice. Growing in faith. And how do we grow in faith? There's a different ways that Paul mentioned this. We just mentioned some things here. Being tested, we can look at that as a positive. We overcome those things. We build on those things. But when we say up here, we're talking about the heart. What's in the heart, right? Oh, yes. He's in there. He hear you. That's good. Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah. And That's good, because that's one of the things that we are feeding to this person that's going to control this rudder. When you overcome, what's another way that help us get to this point where we control?
Realizing that we will, can, and often do
Yeah. 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 Yes. Yeah. The idea of items that help me control my tongue. I like the one that was brought out about the prayer. We've heard that in a number of prayers. God help me to say the right thing. I think we have another song. The World's Bible. They have some words in there that deals with how people are going to perceive us. Asking God to help us and thanking Him, recognizing if, you know, we were able to overcome those things. Idea of knowing what is pleasing to God and what's not pleasing to God. But the Bible also tells us about what we take in. What does it say about that? Anybody remember what it talks about when it talks about what we take in? You know, it's kind of like the right food that we eat. Yeah. And sometimes we put the wrong things. I mean, you know, in other words, we get involved with too close to activities, too close to practices that is not going to help us. Not good for us, but it can draw us down. And so, you know, if you ever look at some movies, you know, you've been looking at a movie and the bad guys are doing all this stuff, and we just be waiting on the good guys, we call the good guys, to go in and just tear them up, do them in. And so I put this idea in my mind that I need to take care of the situations that I'm confronted with. I need to put things in my mindset, things that will help me control my tongue. I don't need, sometimes the challenges is okay, because I've come, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, I'm just saying, talking about myself. Sometimes I won't have discussion with certain people on certain subjects because I don't think I can control myself. And maybe I should. And maybe that would be my challenge. Maybe that would help me to be endured. Maybe I should be like Sister Petro and just go ask God to help me. And sometimes what happens is God put that test and He challenged you. And you see if once you do it, then you know God, He's helping you. He's answering your prayers. So the tongue is a big thing. Taming it, we can't do it, but we can control it. And I everybody understand, I think some good examples, the difference between tame and control. Yeah. When
right.
And there's frustration. far as fire. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Controlling that tongue is one of the behaviors that James mentioned. Recognizing that it comes from, somebody said, from upstairs. And a lot of that upstairs will come from our knowledge, our instructions, the things that we know. And so that happens. So in chapter 4, and that's where we're supposed to be starting. In chapter 4, I only got about 5 minutes, but I just want to start out with a couple of things here that is mentioned in chapter 4. Let me put my Bible over here. One of the things that James start out with, and we already went over this, is that it sounds like he's dealing with one of the behaviors that we talked about when he first started the chapter. And which one of the behavior problems that James addressing here. What did he start out with? He's talking about what? He asked a question, right? Huh? Okay, so he said, why are you quarreling? Is that it? Is that what he's saying? Why are you quarreling? What is he looking for? What is James looking for when he asked that question? If I ask you why you wore that tie, Scott. But what am I? I want to know the most. Oops, I gave you the answer. He asking your motives, right? Well, what's your motive? I think somebody mentioned. What's our motives? What's your motives for doing all of this? Are your motives? There can be two motives, right? What's the two motives that you think that could happen here? Huh? Yeah, for quarreling. He's saying, and some people do that for pleasure and for love. They have this love and pleasure of just stirring it up, like me sometime in the classes. But he asking this question. What's your motive? What's your motive for doing this? And then he sort of answered it. Or did he answer it? What did he say is something to consider or something that probably is happening with you that causing you or making you? Is it? Passion? Your pride, lack of humility. And he asked the question to get them to start thinking, well, I'm quarreling with this guy because I want to prove myself, or I'm standing up for God's word. That might be what they're saying. But then he answered, he says, no, that's not what you're doing it for. This is what's happening. And so he bring that attention to them, right? And how does he summarize that particular area to his question? When you look at that. Verse And he's telling them why you're doing it. He asks the question, then he tells them what they're doing. One of them is that you want something. You want it for the wrong reason. You want it. You don't have it. And so, you know, you're going to go about this way of taking it. Motives. What's your motives? And you're fooling yourself if you think your motives are God-like, or Christian-like. These are your motives. You need to examine yourself. We need to examine ourselves while we're doing certain things. Okay. I'm gonna close there, and Aaron's gonna probably start with 13 and 14 next week. I think that's where we left off, 11 and 12. I wanted to kind of bring some of those points out because I thought it was somewhat interesting as we were studying this, and because it's so much like what we do today. Right in line, I like this particular book. Anybody have any closing comments? Any questions? Okay, let's close in prayer. Our Father and our God, again, we thank thee for allowing us to study your word of truth. Be with us now, Father, as we close out our class and as we prepare to go into our worship services. Thank you for being in our presence. Thank you for blessing us with your love. For this we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.